Take time to be holy. A lot of times we spend time to be happy. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 4. If you need a paper, hold your hand up. We got some paper back here. Hold it up high where Tom can see him there.
This is your third copy,
but
we'll charge you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hold it up high there, Cheryl. Say. I can understand if it's winter, you're burning them, but. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. The prison epistle to the church of Ephesus, and we've been looking at the home on Sunday mornings, the church on Sunday nights. We've been looking at Ephesians and Colossians for a long time now. And the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will show us how to be saved. The book of Acts shows us that we have a Holy Spirit that comes and dwells inside of us. Establishes these churches, and then the epistles teach us how to live. And if you want to know how to live, how to be a Christian, then you go by what the epistles say. They're not suggestions, but these are the way. This is normal Christian life. A lot of people think that that if you do what the Bible says, you're a super Christian, but that's not true. You're a normal Christian. If we do what the Bible says, we're just normal. That's what he wants us to be, is just normal Christians living like he said to live. All right? And vitally important. All right? Now, we started on verse 12 and just read it there. That was the last thing we done last Wednesday. I want to go back just for a moment. We're going to go back and read, start at verse 1 and read down through verse 16. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 1. Is everybody all right? Everybody ready?
Amen.
All right, let's pray together. Can we, Father, we come to us now, and Lord, I understand my shortcomings, my failures, my sin. Lord, I need your help, need your cleansing. I don't want nothing between me and you tonight. I ask that you might touch me fresh, give me wisdom to teach, to preach. Lord, give me power of the Holy Spirit. Because I cannot do it by myself, I know that. Lord, give me mental strength, give me physical strength. Lord, I pray that the Word of God will have free course, and as we look at these verses and we apply them to our life, help us to do as you have said for us to do, I pray. And we're going to thank you. You've been so good to us, it's already been said over and over. You've been so good to us. And you've done far more than save us. That was enough. If you just saved us, we'd have to praise you forever. But you've done far more than save us. You've given us everything we have. And we sure do appreciate you tonight. Now, Lord, I again ask you for help. May we trust you more. Increase our faith tonight, I'm asking. In Jesus' name, and amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We'll stop right there. Now, as we looking at these, we was trying to look thoroughly about the gifts that is spoken of here in verse 11. The apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. And when we looked at them and tried to dissect them a little bit, we want to look now at the purpose or why that the Lord give the church these things. Why did the Lord give the church apostles when it started? Why does he give the church prophets? Why does he give the church evangelists? Why does he give the church pastors and teachers? There's a reason. It's not just to have a job for people to do, but there is a purpose for that. And verse 12 tells us what this purpose is. It's for the perfecting of the saints. That's the purpose of it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, all these positions or duties that's listed in verse 11 is not for self-glory, but they're for the body. They're for the church. And I want to remind you that the church is not just this building. This is just a congregation of part of the body.
Yeah.
All right? This is just a part of the body, that every born-again believer all over across the world is part of the body of Christ, part of the church of Christ, part of the bride of Christ. And everyone is important. Everybody is necessary. That though the feeble members or the what we would consider the main members, God considers everybody necessary. Everybody. And everybody has a job. Everybody has a duty. Everybody has a purpose. Now, the leadership is what is in verse 11. The apostles, if you go back and read it, the church was founded, of course, upon Christ. But it was founded upon that, the foundation of the apostles. They had the stones laid, I reckon, would be a good way, the foundation stones from their teaching. And then the prophets, which we tried to show you, they are modern day prophets. They have an extraordinary ability to interpret the scripture better than the normal person. All right. Now they don't predict the future, or they'd have to write a new Bible. All right. It's not something that's going to happen other than what the scripture says. They have John Yates, I believe, is a very good example of a modern day prophet, the way he expounds the word of God. I believe if you're taking a college class, you can readily see that. And then evangelists, as we say, they were assistants, if you would, with the apostles and the prophets, to get the gospel out, to call people to repentance. And what we call today evangelists is more revivalist, not evangelist, but the most evangelists today are revivalists, all right? And then pastors and teachers. And the pastors and the teachers, of course, are can be both one. They can be separate, and they are in the shepherds of the flock or the local congregation. Now, why? For the perfecting of the saints. Well, let's think about that. The perfecting of the saints is a restoring of anything to its place. All right, think about this now. The completing, the perfecting, all right, putting in order, making complete. And these officers were appointed in order that everything in a church might be well arranged. Now, the Lord does everything in order. He don't do nothing by confusion. Amen. and he laid thing out in a local church. It's not necessarily tradition. Now, a lot of things we may have as tradition, but there is an order to things. And Paul plainly teaches that. And he tells Timothy and Titus even in the churches to ordain elders and to put things in order. All right, there is an order for things. But this perfecting of the saints is why there's offices here. Can you imagine the chaos if we all come in and done what everybody wanted to do? It would be nothing but chaos. And it's not something that anybody chooses to, but it's a calling of God. All right, the apostles were called of God. They were chosen by God, called of God. And the same way with prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are called in the same way. Workers for God in a specific purpose, all right? Now, to put things in its proper place. Now, that the church might be complete, that you as a believer, that me as a believer, all right? The body may have every possible advantage for becoming complete in love and knowledge and order. Complete in love. Loving one another, loving Christ, having the love of God abound in us, abound through us. We just sung the song, Take Time to Be Holy, that it will show us, that it will show Christ to our friends. Is that what it said? Take time to be holy, speak off. And then if you read the song, it goes right along with the scripture. Is everybody still with me? Now it says, for the perfecting of the saints, but why? For the work of the ministry. There had to be guidance. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's why there has to be leadership in the church, because of the foolishness that's in the world. Yeah. All right? The false doctrine is in the world. There's a lot of false doctrine. There's only one doctrine of Christ. But there's a lot of false doctrines. But there's only one of the Lord. All right? And that's why you have pastors and teachers, evangelists. That's why there has to be someone to lead and to direct. All right? A great responsibility in that very job right there. Now, false doctrine has to be taught out. And truth needs to be proclaimed. It's the truth of the gospel that's proclaimed. And the truth will run out falsehood. Amen. Falsehood can't stand where there's constant truth. It'll be exposed. Falsehood will be exposed. Yes. All right? And can I say, it don't have to be exposed by man. The truth, it'll be just like throwing a rock in a pack of hounds. The one that gets hit is the one that hollers. And that's what the truth does. The truth will make you holler. All right? And it's self-evident in that respect. All right? Now, that one purpose, that is the work of the ministry, though they be different departments. There's one work. There's one work. There's one ministry for Christ. But it's done different way. We have teachers, we have helpers, we have singers, we have preachers, we have evangelists, we have all kinds of different things that we use for the ministry. All right, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. All this is for the edification of the church, to spiritually build up or instruct or improve, like building a house. That's what that edification is. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look at verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The ministry is about Christ. It's not about man. It's not about the church. It's not about people building up people for prestige, but it's for building up Christ that we might be built up through Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this ministry in explaining the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of the gospel, the order of the church. All right, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanted, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. That's to set things in order. Does everybody follow me? Talk to me if you follow me. All right. Now, for this edifying of the body. Now, the ministry is not just for apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. It's not just for them. That is the leadership. All right. But the ministry is for everybody. The ministry of the gospel is for everyone. Every believer. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. The ministry is for everyone. It's not a one-man show. It's not a two-man show. But it's a church. It's a body. It's a message of the body for the head. Everybody's included. All right? Now, let's look back here in verse 12, chapter 4 of Ephesians. For the perfecting of the saints. That's all the saints. For the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, that's the whole body of Christ. That's for everybody. Everybody understand that? Now, this preparation or this edification, this building up, this perfecting of the saints, all right, it's more than a church service. It's not just when we meet here for an hour. All right, it's to be our life. The ministry of Christ is to be our life. Every day. All right? You don't put it on and take it off. Now we put on Christ, yes. But it's not, the ministry is not just something that's done on Sunday. It's not just something that's done on Wednesday. But it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing. It's for all of us. And it's not just for to make me look good or to make you look good, but it's to increase the relationship. That song, Take Time to Be Holy, the last verse said, talks about that we'll soon be fitted for service above. All right? Well, we're going to be in eternity with Christ, correct? We are His bride, is that not correct? But what needs to be, there needs to be a relationship with the groom and the bride. And that's what this edification, this perfecting, this work of the ministry, that we all come together as the body of Christ in relationship. And if there's anything missing, it's the relationship, the personal relationship with the believer and with Christ. How much time did you spend today with your groom? How much time did you spend? How much time did you set aside with your relationship with the groom today? Think about that. That's what all this is about. Now, it's like we're preparing ourselves for heaven. Is that not true? This is all temporary. Heaven's eternal. Christ is not just good for this life. He's good for this life and the next life. Is that not right? I mean, that's what we're going to end up being, is with Him, and it's building our relationship. I want you to think about that. And we realize that we all work together. Now, the whole body is Christ. And we're going to look at some verses now. Now, we're not there. What would be the word? We're not, is it ecumenical? The word is, we're not that. We need to understand that a lot of times we're judgmental in denominations. All right? But there is a line drawn with the gospel. We understand that. There's things that we put up in front of methods that we don't go along with others' methods, and we have chosen to do things different. But when it comes down to it, the gospel is what makes the body of Christ. That you believe the gospel. Christ said, believe the gospel. You must be born again. Believe the gospel. He didn't say be a certain denomination. He said believe the gospel. All right? So let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now this edifying of the body is the whole body of Christ. We're to be working with the whole body of Christ. Working one with another. Philippians chapter 1, let's look at verse 14. We'll start there through 18. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, but sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For Christ being preached is the main thing. Now I know sometimes that gets a little tough, but that's the truth. That we need to preach Christ. That's the thing. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Yes. And that's what is supposed to bring the body together. That's what's supposed to bring all of us together. We're all saved the same way. Alright? Maybe saved at church, maybe saved at home, maybe saved on a job, maybe saved beside the road, but we're all together with the gospel of Christ. Alright? Look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Look here at verse 38. Mark chapter 9, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Look over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And we're not talking about accepting everything that comes down the pipe. We're talking about an agreement of the gospel. We're talking about agreement of the word of God. Everybody understand that? Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 49. And John answered, and this is what Mark said. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he falleth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Yeah. So we just need to be careful is what I'm wanting to look at. We need to be careful. And instead of throwing them out of the body, that we remember there's one body by the gospel of Christ. It's not by denomination. It's by the gospel of Christ. It's by the work of the ministry, by the faith, the word of God. That's what's got to bring us together. It's the word of God. All right? Now, the word ministry simply means service. And the verse teaches that everyday members, the normal member, all right, the normal member, can do the work of the ministry. You're not just paid staff. That ain't who's supposed to do the work of the ministry. It's everybody. Yeah. Everybody. Right? Yeah. Now the gifts, again, are not for personal edification, but they're for the whole body. And the leaders are like, I hate to look at it like that, but more like we're coaches or trainers. We're supposed to train. We're supposed to train you to do the ministry. Yeah. If we spent our time doing all the ministry, we would never have time to train you to do ministry. Yeah. So we train you to do the ministry. Yeah. Because we're all supposed to be doing the ministry. Yeah. All right? and it's for the maturity of the body. Look in verse 15. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We'll get to it later. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. All right? Maturity, that we might grow up being complete in Christ, being that perfect man as the scripture lays out. All right? Now let's look at verse 13 on the paper there. Now there's something here that I want to make sure that we all see when we look at verse 13, and that's the unity. The whole chapter is talking about being one. Verses 4, 5, and 6 shows one. And then we come out here about being for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Not unity of faith, but unity of the faith. There's a difference there. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is this? It shows, to start with, till we all come in a unity of the faith. Till we all come. That shows us the length. How long are we going to do ministry? Till we're all together. That's how long we do this. Till we all come in it together. We ain't supposed to leave nobody behind. Huh? Think about that. Till we all come together. And unity is the number one importance in the body. Yes. Yes. Unity is the number one importance of the body. That's why, and I got it wrote down here for everybody to remember this and think about this about ourselves. That's why we don't have the power that we've used to have, because of division in the body.
Amen.
There's division in the body without repentance. Division may come, but there should be repentance that follows.
Yes.
And division in the body with no repentance, then there's no unity. Right? No unity. Now, the scripture plainly teaches unity with all of us. Everybody understand that? Now, if I'm right with God and you're right with God, there shouldn't be a problem us being right. There shouldn't be a problem. If I'm walking with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, then we're either on the same side or we're holding one hand and you're holding the other. We're still holding the same one. Somewhere, we're out of kilter. All right? So let's look at some scripture. Let's look here and see just how one we are supposed to be. When we talk about this unity of the faith, look in John 17. John chapter 17. Let's start here in verse 21. John 17, verse 21. This is Jesus praying. He says, and he's praying to his Father, and he says, that they all may be what?
One.
As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be what?
One.
In us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be what?
One.
Even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in what?
One.
And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. Now all of this is that we all might be one. There's no private body. There's no private salvation. In fact, I believe there's a scripture that says he wrote unto us about the common salvation.
Yeah. Right.
I believe that's in there, ain't it?
Yeah.
All right. Not private. I don't have mine, you have yours.
Right.
We all got one.
Right.
And we got one Savior.
Yeah.
And he's the same Savior.
Amen.
And we got one Father, and he's the same Father.
Right.
And if we have the same Father, that makes us brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
If we all have the same Father, that all right?
Yeah.
So we see unity is very important. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, some of these things we mentioned even on the other Sunday night. Acts chapter 1. Let's look here in verse 14. It says, these all continued. Now, they listed names there, the disciples. So these all continued with one accord. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. So there's 120 that were together and one, in one accord. Is that true or not? See, that's the example that we're supposed to be one. Men and women together. All right? All of us together. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what?
One
accord in one place. There's something about this unity that's vital to the body of Christ. All right? Keep your hand there in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So keep your hand there. All right, now let's look on in chapter 2 to verse 44. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And it says, and all that believed were together and had all things common.
Yeah.
Now that don't mean they was all in one place.
Right.
All right. Don't mean they was all in the same house. All right? But they were all together.
Yes.
Unity. We're talking about unity. All right? It says, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord. They continued. They didn't do it just one time. But they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They didn't just do it at the temple, but they done it from house to house. They were together. Unity is vitally important. Now, that's what is supposed to be taught. That's what's supposed to be preached. That's what's supposed to be the edifying, the encouraging the body to become one. To be one, that we might grow up, that we might be together in love, that we might be together in support, that we might be together in giving, that everybody, that nobody has need. Huh?
Yeah.
That's what that's about. Let's drop down to chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed, and the multitude, now that's a palim, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. We're looking at unity here. The heading in my Bible here says here the state of the church at Jerusalem. That's the state they were in. They were together. Huh? I believe that's a good thing. It would be together. How about chapter 5, verse 12? It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's Porch. One. I don't know that we can really do anything else for the Lord if we can't do that. I don't think you can bypass that. I don't think we can walk with the Lord like we're supposed to if we're not one. I don't believe we can have the testimony we're supposed to have if we're not walking together.
Amen.
I don't believe we have the power of prayer if we're not walking together. I don't believe we have the testimony that we're supposed to have if we can't walk together.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Amos said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, this is all in here for a reason. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's what Paul's writing to the church. This is our conduct tonight.
Yes.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Huh? Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Let's go ahead and just read verse 4 as well. I got verse 5 and 6 there. Let's read 4 as well. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be what? Like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Verse 6. That you may with what? One mind and what?
One mouth.
Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about unity here. It's not just in one verse, but it's throughout the Scripture laid out from the beginning, from when the church started all the way through, that the church be together, that the body be together. Can I tell you, there's no wounds like church wounds. There's no hurt like church hurt. Huh? There's no crueler people than church people. That's true. Well, that ought not be so. It ought not be so. Huh? Think about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Well, that's something. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, Paul's writing this to an unspiritual church. The church of Corinth were not, they weren't on fire for the Lord here. They were carnal. Huh? And he's telling me they need to speak the same thing, that there be no divisions. Are we still okay? Look at Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. It says, only let your conversation be as it is becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in what? One spirit. With what?
One mind.
Look at the next. Striving what? Together for the faith of the gospel.
Yeah.
Is that unity or what?
Yes.
That's unity. Drop down to chapter 2. Start at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I mean, how many times do we have to read it before we understand that that's what the Scripture says? There needs to be unity in the body. And we need to search ourselves and look at our own heart, our own mind, our own conversation, our own lifestyle, and see if we are together.
Yeah.
Huh? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace." Huh? "And the God of love and peace shall be with you." Is that what it says? Huh? How about 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. Here we are in the home. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It's for the church. These are epistles. This is how we're supposed to be living. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "Finally, be ye all. Of what? One mind. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous." Huh? Let's go ahead and read verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Huh? Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look what it says here in verse 3. It says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Huh? Unity. That's why we have church. That's why you have a pastor. That's why you have teachers. That's why. Huh? That you might be taught. That you might grow. Huh? That's why there's evangelists to call us to the gospel, to call us to repentance. Alright? That we believe the gospel. And then pastors and teachers, that we be taught what? Till we all come in a unity of the faith. Till we all come in unity. Till we all come together. All of us, that we all learn to speak the same thing. That we all learn to love one another. That we all learn to take care of one another. That we all learn to back up one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But we fail to do this. We fail to do this. Can I say I'll take mine and I fail to teach it. And then when I do, we fail to learn it. Or if we do learn it, we fail to act upon it. Verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. "Till we all come." Now that all includes the teachers also. It don't just include those being taught. It's everybody. "Till we all," the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, "for the perfecting of all the saints." It's all the saints. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Huh? All. Also, we see that we're to come in the unity of the faith. Now, it's not a faith, but it's the faith. It's not the faith to pray or the faith to serve, but it's the faith. It's the faith, the truth, the Word of God, the gospel of God. Jude tells us that about contending for what? The faith. Everybody understand? That's why verse 12 is why, and verse 13 is how long. Until we all come into unity of faith. Keep doing it until we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God. Keep doing it until we all come into the perfect man. Keep doing it to the measure of the stature till we are formed, conformed to the stature of Christ, Him being our example. Now we are to live as an example to others, we are, but our example is Christ. We can't settle for being as good as somebody else.
Amen.
Alright? We can't settle. Now, there's great people that I wished I was like, and that's true. But it's got to go above that. For Christ is our standard. I'm not the standard. You're not the standard. Christ is the standard. In every way, Christ is the standard. All right. So let's quit right there until we all come in the unity of the faith. That's a law. That's a law. We need help. We need help. We can't do it ourselves. We don't have an in us of our own work. It's got to be the Christ in us. Hope of glory. I'm glad that Christ lives in me. If Christ didn't live in me, all this is impossible unless Christ lives in us.
Amen.
And if we are a believer, then this is normal Christianity.
Amen.
If we are a believer, this is normal Christianity. Think about that. If we are a believer, this is normal Christianity.
Yeah.
Huh? Father, we come tonight. We sure do thank you for a word. And who would think that verses on love and loving one another and unity would be so tough? Who would think that knowing that we should not be divided would be hard for a Christian? But yet we struggle with these things. Your body struggles amongst itself, and it's not just this congregation, but your whole body groans. And Lord, we need help tonight. We need wisdom. We need strength. We can't do it. We got to have your power. Lord, we got to have your strength because we fail. Help us. Forgive us. Help us to do better. Help us to love one another. Help us to grow. Help us to be pleasing unto you. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen.